Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, January the 10th, 2022, 1-10-22, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I did, kind of just a relaxing weekend, to be honest with you, which was kind of nice. It was cold. Not much else to do these early weeks in weekends in the month of January. Had a great show here on Friday night with Angie Evers. We had a lot of phone participation. Talked about a lot of things, animal care and things of that nature. And that was really interesting to learn how interested people were in the care of their animals in this type of weather. We learned a lot of things on Friday night. We talked to somebody from some of the facilities around town that take care of animals. And it's interesting to know all of the good work that's being done in that field in Marion. Now, the subject came up on Friday night, and it's kind of interesting because the top of the hour this morning that played when this show was coming on was the conversation that Charlie and I were having with Marion's Catwoman when she got, I think she was bitten by a dog. That would have been about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even 7 years ago. And we talked about her on Friday. She's one of those characters here in Marion. And I have not seen or heard from her in the longest time. And everybody called her Catwoman. Now, I believe her name was Sue. We talked about it on Friday night, but I do believe her name was Sue, and I don't know if she still lives at the same spot. I don't know if she's still in the same spot. I really don't know anything about that, but I hope she's doing okay. She had a lot of cats. That was one of the big things that everybody knew. Everybody sort of knew where she lived, unfortunately because of the smell. And we did get some calls that she is still around. She used to listen to the station. I don't know what's become of her. Does anybody know? And Friday night we did have somebody call in who gave us her name. Millizer. Sue Millizer, I believe is her name. But does anybody ever know what became of Catwoman? Because I know we probably have more listeners in the morning than we do at night. Has anybody heard what happened to the Catwoman? Or does anybody know a good way to describe Sue Millizer, the Catwoman, for people who might not know who she is? I didn't know who she was till about 10 years ago, to be honest with you. I knew there was a woman in Marion who had a lot of cats, but I did not know that it went to the extreme that it went to. Does anybody remember Sue Millizer, the Catwoman, or know whatever became of her? Is she still taking care of cats? I remember one time she came to the radio station, and Terry Tackett bought her, and I wish I could remember. It was a big bag of something. Now, I don't remember if it was cat food or if it was cat litter, but it was something she needed. She really did not have the money to take care of these cats that she had, and I'm not even really sure why she took them in. I'm not sure if she was just a cat lover or if it was a compulsion. Or really, what was going on there? I know the people out at Homeless to Home, that's the group that called in Friday night, take in cats and take in a lot of animals. But that wasn't really what Sue, the Catwoman, did. She kind of had a whole different idea to what she did. So, does anybody know anything about the Catwoman, Sue Millizer? Just as far as where she came from and what happened with the cats and why. I haven't heard from her since she was bitten, to be honest. Go ahead, caller.
You're talking about the cat lady on Silver Street.
Yeah, I believe where it was the corner of Silver and what did she live on?
Let me see. When you go down, gosh, I don't go down that often, but I dropped her those big bags of cat food off a couple of times or so because I knew she was needing the food. She lived in a big two-story house, and I'm trying to think from if it's before, what is that road that you go to Tecumseh? That, I can't think of those roads. She's where that Dairy Queen is there on Silver. I think as you go, it'd be east. She's, I think, down from that. I'd have to, because I don't go down that often. And I believe she's just past that.
So is she still down there?
I have no idea, because it's been like a few years. I remember about the dog bite, and I had taken the food before then. So I don't know what happened to her, if she got rid of the cats or some of them, or what the deal was there.
Did you ever know any reason why she had all these cats?
No, because there's a lady. I have a lady like a small house, and she had 30-some cats in the house. So, no, they just love cats, and one thing is, people are mean to dogs some, but they're really mean to cats. And when you see a cat running, they say, well, they can catch a mouse. Well, and the reason is wintertime freezing, I don't know if they can and stuff. People just feel sorry because they really mistreat the cats more, I think, than any, you know, shoot them and all kind of stuff at them and things. So they just love cats. But as this other lady, she can't afford to take care of them either, can't afford to fix them. And they just keep having cats, and they just hate to give them up because I know at Upper, I used to, because where I, my basement flooded, is out in the country, and like the cats would come there, they'd drop them off down on Victory Road. And I have fixed over probably 30 cats, and they come there, and Upper would fix them and give them the shots for like $50 and things. But no, they just, and then they kind of don't want to give them up because some places, like at the animal shelter, they get so many, they put them down. And that's why down past the mall, that home to homeless to home or whatever, home to homeless,
right.
I've been down there, and she doesn't do that.
You know, somebody, now see, I had this conversation not too long ago with somebody. Now, I thought, now I don't know for sure because I've never taken a cat to the, you can take cats to the Humane Society.
Yeah.
Now, see, but I thought they did put cats down there, but this person told me they did not.
Well, see, so quite a few years ago, because I got tired of like three cats coming, and they were back then, you know, they were dying of that leukemia, and you run to Columbus, try to save them, and you really couldn't, but I didn't believe in that. I just run down there. But they have a big in-ground swimming pool, and it's real pretty, black and white. It was a young cat came there, and I thought, I probably had three cats or so, and I probably thought, oh, I can't, you know, this one, somebody will adopt it, I'll just take it to the animal shelter, because I won't give up a cat either, and I was ready to go, and she said, sign the paper, she said, by the way, it's pregnant, we have to put her down, and I said, well, then I'm not signing, so I took her to Yancey, he aborted the kittens, but I think she ended up, I don't know if the neighbor boy threw her in the pool. She was gone, and then he kind of mentioned he was like a five-year-old kid. I think she drowned in that pool, but the neighbor wouldn't tell me that and stuff. But there are a lot of people, like, when you know a cat's going to be put down, you know, or something, you just, they won't give them up. So.
Right, and I, you know, I had always heard that the Humane Society did put them down. Now, nobody from the Humane Society ever told me that, but that was always my understanding, but then I was telling somebody that, and they said, oh, no, they don't do that, but I don't know. It would seem to me that they would just have buku cats out at the Humane Society.
I think they're allowed a limit, and then they start putting them down because Upper, the lady where I take them up there, it has grown because I took them in the 80s, early 80s up there. I found out about them and stuff. They had taken their house, their garage, and made it, you know, and take care of animals. I think she was a nurse. I don't know if he was a nurse too or what, but it's really expanded. It's called, I think, Hope. Because I haven't had to take cats for a few years here and stuff, and they wouldn't put a cat down. So when one guy at work had some cats that he needed to you know, they needed to get rid of. I took him up there to take them. And I know Jeannie down by the mall, I believe she won't put a cat down. If you want to adopt a cat from her, it's worse than adopting a kid. You're going, I don't know what you have to jump through and stuff, but and things. So, but no, the animal shelter, if they've changed their about doing that, I never knew it because I knew they always liked they had a limit. But when the cat was so pretty, and I thought, well, somebody will take this cat right off. And when they said that, I said, no, I'm not leaving her, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had somebody on Friday night, a representative. It wasn't Jeannie from Homeless to Home, and they kind of told us what they do and how they do it and that they don't put animals down, but there is an adoption process that goes along with getting some of the animals out there. And they invited anybody to come out and take a look at it who had not been out there. It's out past, I think, Dollar General. Out on,
They had sold the land to the Dollar General, and her mom had done that stuff because they had kennels. They used to have dogs. Now, I don't believe she takes dogs in. And then she took it over from her mom, but she took her three-car garage, and I went in there just two or three years ago. I don't know if I was looking for, I had a cat that was missing. And she had the prettiest cats, just cage after cage, and you wouldn't think that they were strays or anything. They were long-furred cat. I mean, if I worked for somebody and I knew that they were going to put the cats down, I couldn't help them. I just couldn't do it and stuff. And then she has a long room, and then her whole backyard is fenced in where the cats can go to. And she really is, you know, into it, really, you know.
Interesting.
If you ever want to take a cat, that's where to take it.
No.
And stuff and things, because she is really, I mean, to adopt it, I know you probably jumped through hoops to get a cat from her.
But we really don't know what happened to old Sue Millizer, the cat woman.
No, because it's been now a few years, because I remember right before the dog bite, I think I dropped some off, and then the dog bite, and then, because she was on the radio, and I never heard from her anymore. She'd, I think, talk to Charlie or something. She needed cat food.
Yeah, she always needed cat food, and I know Terry gave her some at one point, but I remember she came in, and Charlie and I were on the air at the time, and I know she came in, and she was talking about that dog bite, and I remember she was talking about how she had seen a lawyer, and I'm not even sure what happened with the dog bite. It was an odd story, to be honest, that how she had gotten bitten. It was during the middle of the day, and the owner was outside. It's been so long ago, but after that I never saw her again.
Yeah, I just heard that, I think on your station, that she'd gotten bitten by a dog, and that's all I heard. I never knew any, unless, you know, I stopped, I know, a couple of times and dropped off those big bags, but I never heard, you know, from her anymore. I just pull up and she'd get them and stuff. So
well, maybe somebody can tell her we're looking for her if she is still living down there, because she's somebody who would call in, because she used to call in quite a bit, and maybe she can fill us in on why she has all these cats or had all these cats, and also what went on with that dog bite, because we all heard about the dog bite, but then really never heard any more about it.
Yeah, unless it was, I don't know if it'd be a neighbor dog after one of the cats or something. I don't know, because she did have some out. I don't know what she had inside or anything, because I just pull up and she'd get the cat food and stuff. So.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for the information.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944, 30, coming up on 31 minutes past the hour on this cold, cold Monday morning, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know anything about Sue Millizer, the Catwoman? Is she still down there? I Friday night, we had a caller call in and tell us exactly where she lived, and I know it was on the corner of Silver, and I can't think of the other street that it's on the corner, though. Big house down there. I've never been to the house. But the last time I saw Sue, she came to the mall. We were still at the mall at that point, and she was talking about being bitten by this dog. She used to come by a lot. When we were in the mall, I would see her all the time. And she liked being called Catwoman, by the way. For a long time, I didn't even know what her name was, because when I introduced myself to her, she said, "My name is Sue, but call me Catwoman." So I never knew what her last name was. She liked being called Catwoman. But I have no idea what happened to her. She's one of those people, kind of like when I was talking about Don Fleming attending those city council and county commissioner meetings for so long, that just kind of disappeared, went off into the ether of Marion, I guess we would say, and you didn't hear from them, and they were such vocal people for a long time. Like Sister Earlene Hatch. Now, Sister Hatch moved down to, I believe it was North Carolina, so I know what became of her, and I believe she's still down there. But I have no idea what became of Sue Millizer or that whole dog bite incident. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, the caller said it was a street that went to Tecumseh, and that would have been Mary Street, because Tecumseh sat on the corner of Mary and Joseph.
It could be, you know, when the lady called in Friday night, maybe she's out there listening now. She knew right where she lived, and I don't know if she's, and it may have been, you know, that's where Tecumseh was, but it doesn't seem to me like Mary strikes a bell. Did you know anything about Catwoman?
I remember hearing her on the radio with Charlie and,
Mr. McFeely.
Mr. McFeely was on.
Yeah, yeah. And she came in a couple times. She came in one time when Charlie and I were doing a show, and that's when we heard about the dog bite, and I'm just curious to know what happened to her.
I don't know. I remember hearing her, but I don't know where she lived or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for the street information.
Alrighty.
Okay, bye-bye. It doesn't seem like it was Mary Street. Now, that's obviously where Tecumseh was, but the caller who called in Friday night knew exactly where she lived, on the corner of Silver and something, and I did not write it down because Friday night I really wasn't planning to talk about Sue, but I think we ended up talking about animals, and obviously she came into my mind, being known as the Catwoman for so long. So does anybody know anything about Sue? You know, I always say this, are they listed in the phone book? But then I realize that most of us really don't have phone books anymore. Now, some of us still do, and when we were at the last studio, we still had phone books, but I don't know where they got to when we moved. Go ahead, caller.
She lived on the corner of Silver and Fahey Street.
Silver
in
and
yellow house.
Silver and Fahey.
Right.
In a big yellow house.
Right.
But we don't know if she lives there now.
No. The last time I ever saw her, she said that her kids wanted her to move into some kind of assistant living somewhere. But every time you turn around, she was suing somebody for something.
Well, I remember the whole thing with the dog bite. That's when she came in and said on the air that she was going to sue them. But I didn't really understand what had happened with the dog bite.
I don't know anything about that, but I know she was always on radio begging for cat food and cat litter and all kinds of stuff like that.
Well, maybe she's out there. I know she used to listen, but like I say, I don't know what happened to her.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to hear from her, but yeah, thanks for the information. It's
all right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. The corner of Silver and Fahey is where she lived. Silver and Fahey. Big house down there. And I've never been down there, and I'm not casting any aspersions, but people have said, because you have that many cats, and I really don't know how many she had, that there was quite an odor associated with cats down in that area. But if anybody knows anything about Sue, have her give us a call, because I know that she needed help with these cats. I don't know if she still has these cats. I don't know if she's still in Marion. I don't know if she's still down there at the corner of Silver and Fahey. But she was such a Marion character. And by what I mean by that is she was an eccentric person, is the way to put it. And sometimes eccentric people, a lot of people don't like those people. I find them interesting. I think an eccentric person's very interesting. You know, if we all were the same, it'd be an awful boring world. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
I called Friday night, and I was telling you my story about my cat.
Oh, yeah, did you cheer up over the weekend?
I did.
Good.
I just had to call because, I was sitting there listening to the show, and I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It was a show.
Yeah. But, okay, now, my memories are getting, you're stirring up memories. And I inherited a house on Monroe. And, of course, I had to, I had to clean it out, you know, and do that, and then sold it. But during that time of being down there all the time, I swear to God that there was a cat lady that lived on the corner of Monroe and Silver, and that I met her, and she would come down to the house, and there toward the end, before I had my auction, that the she'd come in and look at things that she might be interested in and all that. But I thought it was Monroe, now that I think about it.
Huh. Now, was she kind of blonde-haired and glasses?
I think she might have been, because my memories on that are so sketchy. It was only, you know, after a while of stirring up my thoughts about Catwoman and what you said, and then the lady across the street, who had been very dear friends with the lady who's passed. The lady who passed was my stepmother-in-law. And, of course, you know, she would tell her about how she has cats down there all that time. And then I finally met her, and she was a very nice lady. But, yeah, she had a lot of cats. But, Scott, that was Monroe and Silver.
Well, it was interesting, because I never went out. And honestly, at the radio station, when we were at the mall, she stopped by quite a bit. She was out there, a lot. But to be honest, I don't think any of us ever went to her house. Like I said, I remember Terry. It was either food or litter that he brought for her. But she picked it up at the radio station. And I the last time I saw her, she was talking about that dog bite, and she seemed pretty traumatized by it. And I have not seen her around town. I have not heard anything about her. I know the city used to have some issues, because I think her neighbors used to complain about what was going on there. But I was just curious to know what became of her. So was it a big yellow house that you remember?
You know, I think it was, because there again, you know, I'm trying to stir the memories up. I know there was a vacant house right behind her, which would have been actually the address of on Monroe. And then there was the alley, and then the house I had was on the other side of the street, along the on the north side of the alley. But, yeah, I think it was. But, you know, when the lady said Fahey, I thought, Fahey, well, that's down there close to, you know. It stirred memories up. I, you know, you wish as you got older that things didn't get so foggy all the time, you know. But I'm pretty sure that we're talking about the same person. And why would I think that? I wouldn't even be down there.
Right. You know, and she was very forthright. She liked to be called Catwoman.
Mm-hmm. She was an outgoing type person.
She was, and that's why it's strange to me, because she also was not elderly. She was, when I knew her 6-7 years ago, she was maybe 60. I don't think she was much older than that, if she was older than that. So, you know, I just don't know what became of her. I know it was always a constant fight that people wanted her to get rid of the cats, and she didn't want to get rid of the cats. And I know she did get in some litigation, certainly about the dog, and apparently she also had some other litigation about things. I never knew how she got around. I didn't understand if she had a car. Obviously she paid the bills over there. It was just an odd situation.
Yeah. Well, I would probably have known her better than I do, but it was just kind of like, it wasn't in my own neighborhood. It was down there, you know, where the property that I had. So that's all I can tell you about it, because I, from there, you know, I don't know anymore.
Well, hopefully we can find her. It'd be good to hear from her, and I know she would call in, because she listened for a long time, and she did used to call Tradio all the time, asking for litter and cat food, and I hope we hear from her.
Well, she may be out of that business right now, but she may still be around, so I don't know. Hopefully it'll stir somebody else's memory of it, but I thought, well, I better call, because it was, pretty sure it was Silver
and Monroe.
Yeah, and that would have been on the northeast corner.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Well, okay, now Silver and Monroe. Now, honestly, I never lived in that neck of the woods and really never spent much time over in the Silver Street area. So does anybody know for sure if it was Silver and Monroe, the corner of Silver and Monroe, or the corner of Silver and Fahey, where Catwoman lived? And Catwoman, again, was just what she wanted to be called. I think a lot of people thought that that was a name that people made up for her. She liked that name. Now, I don't know if people made it up for her, but she liked to be called that. But her real name was Sue Millizer. Is Sue Millizer. And I hope that she's still around, and maybe we can find her via the airwaves here this morning, and we can hear from her, because in all the time I knew her, I never knew why she had all those cats. Now, maybe it's something very simple, like she just liked cats. I don't know. But I was always interested to know how that whole dog bite thing came out, because she was very traumatized by that when I ran into her. It was just a few days after that dog bite had happened, and she was walking through the mall, and she stopped in. And I remember she had all these bandages on her leg, and I don't know what became of it. So does anybody have any information on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Did anybody know Sue Millizer, or does anybody know Sue Millizer well? Or anything of that nature? Does anybody remember seeing her around town? She was a pretty well-known person as the Catwoman, as she used to call in to Tradio quite a bit. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 43 and a half minutes past the hour here. And again, we're not sure if she lived on the corner of Silver and Fahey Street or Silver and Monroe Street. And if anybody's over in that neck of the woods, hey, if the house looks occupied, let her know that we're looking for her, and give her the station number. I'm sure she remembers the station. She used to stop in, and we would talk with her, and so on and so forth. 740-383-9944. Also, does anybody know anything about the Humane Society and what they do with cats? I have never asked anybody from the Humane Society. I was just always told that they put down cats. But maybe they don't. Somebody told me they do not. And maybe that's right. Who knows? Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Chad.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hi.
Good.
I'm about two.
Yes.
I think Monroe and Silver.
It was Monroe and Silver. Okay.
I know her for all her life and mine. She got that name that way because she didn't want the guys to be out starving or hungry and get hit by cars and whatever. So she told us harbor them and got to eat and sleep in bed.
Now, is she still over there, do you know?
No, and I used to at the Salvation Army, go up for the mules when they have them at the Salvation Army. I'd see her up there, and the last time I saw her, it was at the Kroger's. She had a car before, and then didn't have one, and then she told me that somebody gave her a car. So,
huh. Well, hopefully we can find out. Maybe somebody has her phone number and can give her a call.
Yeah, I don't have a phone number. I used to have it, but I don't have it.
Well, hey,
yeah, anyway, with the cats, it was that she didn't want them to get hurt or injured or whatever.
Well, that's a nice thing to do. Well, hey, thanks, Bob. Bye-bye. Well, you know, and I always kind of assume that was the idea, that she liked animals and didn't want them to get hurt. But, you know, it just becomes a problem when you have so many. And I really don't know how many she had. As I said, I never went over by the house. I know a lot of people did they knew exactly where she lived. I never did. I just saw her at the mall. Really is the only place I ever saw her. I didn't even know she used to call in on radio. That's beyond my mind. But does anybody know what happened to Sue Millizer, the Catwoman? Does anybody have her phone number? Give her a buzz this morning. Have her give us a buzz here. 740-383-9944, 47 minutes past the hour. Or does anybody know anything about the Humane Society? There are so many cats in town. If you dropped a cat off at the Humane Society, I would just think they would be overrun with cats. I don't know what you would do with all of them. And to be honest, I don't know. I know people have went out there to adopt cats, but there are just so many. I don't know. I don't know how any organization could house that many animals. But homeless to home, allegedly here in town, I only say allegedly because I've never been there. I assume they do what they say they do. Apparently does this, which is nice. But give us a buzz if you know anything. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you know about this particular topic? It's an interesting topic, to be honest with you. What I was going to say this morning was, being a particularly cold morning here in central Ohio, driving in, I did not see any animals outside, which is always a good sign. Most people, I would say, at this particular point, have inside animals when it comes to dogs and cats and things like that. But some people still keep their animals outside. And I really don't know what you do to keep them warm. Does anybody have any techniques on that to help with your animals? Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I don't think you get this paper, but today you're finding out that the deer get that virus.
You know, I was reading something about that last night. What does it say about the deer?
Well, I just glanced at it. Some of them are getting a variant of it, and they think that they're not for sure humans, but I guess if you're a deer hunter, you better wear a mask. And as soon as you can get the virus, even from dead bodies, but what it says here, I'm just skimming over it, for humans to get it, if the person or the animal is dead a day or so, I guess the virus then dies. But they said that if the deer are getting it, they're thinking that birds, wildlife's going to get it. And so people, I guess you can't go out in nature anymore. You better be watching.
Well, I
just glanced at it. They got a write-up. It's on the first page. And one deer had the COVID like the people get, but there's variants of it. I think they're destroying them.
Well, I do know there's a lot of stories on the internet right now. COVID is rampant among deer, which James Anderson listens a lot, and maybe if he's out there, he can call and kind of explain this, because I don't know. I think the fear would be a lot of people eat deer, and if they shoot the deer and they kill it, I mean, if they go up. Yeah, is it? Can they get it from the deer? I don't know. It's
That's what they're saying. Here, it said I'm just skimming here. It said 360 deer. Out of that, a third of them had it, or were found to be infected with three variants of it. So it's somehow it's breaking down. But one, I think, just one tests positive, like the humans. Well, how is that possible? It's a wild deer, and it said here. They got the Ohio State University involved. But it said that, wait a minute, let's see. It says they need to watch, I think, like, though, I thought I saw the wildlife, just not deer. I'm taking it, they think all other animals out in the wild can get it too, you know, anything in the wild. But how is a deer getting it if they're wild?
Well, it's very confusing, and I don't know, but, you know, it would make me wonder about dogs and cats.
Well, they did. When it first started, I remember one dog tested positive for it, and that was when was it 2020, the first of the year or something? And I guess if the person has it and you wouldn't have an animal around you, you'd be sick. But I guess if they're around you and they're breathing, I guess they could get it. But I'll have to read it here. I just opened the paper, and I thought I'd tell you. But, yeah, it says that the deer, and I don't know if deer season's in or out, and it said for hunters to be wear masks. What does it say, gloves and take precautions and all this stuff? Well, why would you even go hunt if, I don't know when they, well, they do it, they take the deer to be, you know, at those packaging places. I don't know if they test for that virus. So you might be bringing that back and eating the deer that's got the virus.
It's an interesting world right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to call and tell you, yeah, it's...
Well, hey, I appreciate the information.
Oh, yeah, here, I just glanced here. Okay. It says, infections also have been reported in domestic animals, such as cats, dogs. See, they've already got it. But they don't make it public. I saw on, well, Fox News is the only one that I usually catch. I don't have cable. I just get a little block, and I get like 5 minutes or something. And they said that anybody that posts anything negative about that virus, like they got sick, they died or something, they take them off that, I don't know, Twitter, Facebook, Internet, whatever it is. They won't let them put it on there. So, you know, you can't, doctor, nobody, if they say anything negative, like Trump, they take them off. You don't say anything negative about that virus. So, the shots or anything, so.
Well, it's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
You know, I saw that story last night that I had not seen really anything in regard to that, but that story popped up, and maybe it was because it was going to be in the Marion Star today, about deer being able to contract the pandemic, the COVID-19. I'll tell you, it's a world out there we live in. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Guy, you were talking about, or you guys were talking about animals getting the virus. Well, that brings up the question, what do they do with them dogs that they train to sniff out the coronavirus?
You know, I don't know. Are there dogs that can sniff it out?
Yeah, I've seen it on the news. They have dogs, I mean, they have dogs that sniff out everything. I don't know how a dog sniffs it out, but...
Well, I wonder, are animals getting terribly sick with it?
I have no idea. My dog's not.
Well, it's very confusing because I don't know why the big story. Maybe it's because people eat deer. I don't know if that's why it's a big story. Is this deer season? It seems like it is.
Yeah. Well, I remember some years ago that there was some kind of disease or virus or whatever it was. But you could get this if you were a bear hunter. You had to be careful how you prepared the bear, or you would get, I can't even remember what it was called now. That's been some years ago. But, I mean, I suppose deer is the same way. If you prepare the deer right, you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, when you cook it, that should kill anything that's in it.
I have no idea. It's confusing, and I just saw that story last night as I was getting ready to go to bed, and I thought, you know, that's I wonder why that's a story all of a sudden, nearly 2 years into this. Or maybe they just found out that it was in deer. I don't know.
Maybe the deer caught it from humans.
Maybe. You never know. Who knows? Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 55 minutes past the hour, coming up on 56 minutes past the hour. You know, I like conversation like this. Just freewheeling conversation between me and you, the listeners. That's what's fun to come in here and do. And we learn a lot because... trust me, you guys know a lot more than I do. 740-383-9944. So the conversations this morning are about the Humane Society, and do they put down cats? Does anybody know for sure? Does anybody know what happened to Sue Millizer, the cat woman who lived on the corner? Now, more people this morning have said Silver and Monroe, but somebody thought she might have lived on the corner of Silver and Fahey, but not really sure. Curious to know what happened to her, and if you do know her or know what happened to her, have her give us a call here. 740-383-9944. And, well, I guess deer are getting COVID-19, which is in the newspaper today. And other animals as well. So, I guess we're off and running at that particular point. 57 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But as I was saying this morning, it was nice to see that there weren't many animals. I didn't see any animals outside as I drove through the city. But I know it happens. I don't know if there's any new technology when it comes to keeping animals warm during the winter. I don't know what you are supposed to do with your animals if they are outside animals. I think it would be, it's very difficult on a morning like this when the temperatures dip so low. I'll tell you something else. As I was driving in this morning, you know, I stopped and got my morning beverage. And the odd thing about this to me always is, some mornings the lines are very long and some mornings they're not, but it's always about the same time frame. Now I wonder, now here's why I wonder this. Now last week the lines were almost non-existent. Now school was back in, most people went back to work last week, but for some reason the lines, I don't think I got stuck in a line any day last week. And if there was a line last week, it was moving so fast that I didn't even notice it. But this morning, for whatever reason, moving slow. Oh, and here's another question I had for you. Where is all the traffic in the morning coming from on Route 95 out by Meijer? For the longest time, I've been coming in here in between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. And I pull out of Meijer parking lot onto Route 95. And coming from the east, there never was any traffic. You never had to worry about traffic coming from that direction. There just wasn't any. There was traffic coming from the city, where all the businesses were, the west. There was traffic coming from that direction you always had to pay attention to, but there was never traffic coming from the east. And starting about 2 or 3 months ago, I have just noticed that there is a ton of traffic, at least between 7 and 8 in the morning, coming from the east out there on Route 95. Does anybody know what's causing that? And again, I bring this up this morning because last week there wasn't any. For whatever reason, there just was not a whole lot of traffic coming from the east out there. But this morning, once again, there was a ton of traffic. Now, I used to think, well, maybe people are getting caught by a train because it's almost so much traffic that you would think that a train had backed them up or something, because it's just a ton of traffic. But I can't imagine there's a train out there every morning. And with that bypass on 309 now, I don't even know where they would be getting backed up at. And I don't know where they're coming from. You know, I wouldn't think that many people live down in the Clarendon and just that area, 98. Who knows? Go ahead, caller.
Maybe it's people coming from Utica over in Cardington.
You know, it might be.
It's about the time for them to get off.
I tell you, I have, for years and years and years, I've never seen traffic come from that direction. But in the last 3 months, it's very difficult to even get on 95 because traffic's coming from both directions.
They might have had shutdown over the holidays. That might have been why you didn't see any traffic last week.
It might be, but it's kind of funny to see almost as much traffic coming from the east as the west.
Well, there's a lot of people in Marion work over there in Cardington, Utica. So
yeah, it could be. That's a good thought. You might be right on that.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, it could be Cardington, Utica. People coming back to Marion. I know a lot of people work over there now. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take 15 minutes here and listen to some sports and weather. news. Come back and continue the conversation. 740-383-9944. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the second hour of your Steve Boom Boom Cannon Afternoon Radio Rampage on WWGH 107.